Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for March the 8th. I'm your host, Paul White. I'm very excited at the time that, well, I'm excited to be recording this because I'm just a few days in front of when you're listening to it, and I'm excited about what happens on the day you're listening to it because on the 8th of March, my wife and I will be in Florida watching a day-night doubleheader for our son's college baseball team. They're taking a spring break trip to Central Florida, and we will be there, and I am a proud father and an excited father, and so you can imagine how pumped up I am. Also, to be in warm weather. My travels have been to cold weather, and as this winter freeze sort of blankets most of the country, we in North Georgia have not been immune. I don't want to complain. Compared to some of our friends in the northern states, it's flat out balmy, but in the 20s in Georgia and then the 30s is pretty cold. So for some of you, you're in sub-zero, and I apologize for even bringing it up, but I should be in the mid-80s this weekend, and I am excited about it. Also, my daughter could make this trip with us because she is involved in theater in high school, and we are excited about her spring production coming up. She is in the cast and working on sets, and we are so proud of her and just proud parents and like to spread that joy to you every once in a while when we can. We return today to the 11th chapter of the book of Zechariah in our journey through this prophecy of the shepherds, this prophecy that began back in chapter 10 when God began to express his displeasure at the leadership over his people. The leadership was supposed to be taking care of the people, representing the people. They have failed in both tasks, and because of that, they need taken out of the way. Leadership has become a problem, and I think into the time of Christ is where these prophecies find their fruition or their fulfillment. Jesus shows us the problem with leadership in his cursing of the barren fig tree. The book of Mark tells the story of Jesus cursing the fig tree and then going to the temple, cleansing the temple, coming back out and seeing that the fig tree is void of any fruit. And that is a sign by the writer Mark that which is supposed to produce doesn't produce. And when it stops producing, eventually it's worthless. And what had happened to the leadership of Israel was they had stopped producing for the people and therefore had become worthless. And therefore, because of that, look at verse 9 of Zechariah 11. This is what God's going to do. Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying die, and what is perishing perish. Let those that are left eat each other's flesh. And this is a really scary verse. I mean, it's God turning his back on the leadership of Israel, letting them perish, and those who are left behind who don't heed warnings to escape will eat one another's flesh. Jesus gave warning to escape in Matthew 24. When you see Jerusalem surrounded, flee to the mountains. And Christians did by the thousands. But those who stayed in Jerusalem, those of the Jewish nation who stayed behind, ended up being trapped by the invading Roman army in AD 67, all the way up to AD 70. And those isolated inside of the city were starved out. The Roman army camped outside of Jerusalem and starved them out. Those inside the city were eventually forced to cannibalism in order to survive. I realize we could probably do a podcast, well, not probably, we definitely could, where we really talk about that Roman invasion. I don't know that I want to do that exactly, but I do want to reference the writings of Josephus, who was a Jew taken captive by the Romans, who pledged his loyalty to Rome in exchange for safety. He would write a history of the Roman invasion. And according to Josephus, 1.1 million Jews, well, really non-combatants, these are not soldiers, they're just citizens, and most of those are Jews inside of Jerusalem, died during the siege, mostly by violence, the edge of the sword, fire, crucifixion was the number one cause of death, but famine, just like Zechariah tells us will happen. The reason there were so many who died in such large quantities, this was the time of Passover, and most Jews from around the world, as far away as Egypt, would travel to celebrate that Passover, but instead they get trapped inside. Remember, Jesus talked about hoping that you don't, that the it doesn't happen on a Sabbath, because it, Jews would close the gates on the Sabbath so that you couldn't get out. Well, then that ended up being not as important, because the Romans closed, you know, the gates anyway. They weren't going to let anyone out. Listen to how Josephus describes the scene. I just thought you might be interested in this. As the legions charged in, neither persuasion nor threat could check their impetuosity. Passion alone was in command. Crowded together around the entrances, many were trampled by their friends. Many fell among the still hot and smoking ruins of the colonnades and died as miserably as the defeated. As they neared the sanctuary, they pretended not even to hear Caesar's commands and urged the men in front to throw in more firebrands. The partisans were no longer in a position to help. Everywhere was slaughter and flight. Most of the victims were peaceful citizens, weak and unarmed, butchered wherever they were caught. Round the altar, the heaps of corpses grew higher and higher, while down the sanctuary steps poured a river of blood, and the bodies of those killed at the top slithered to the bottom. If you don't see, this is me talking now, not Josephus, if you don't see imagery from the book of Revelation in that, I would present that you haven't looked at Revelation lately. Josephus literally used the phrase, sanctuary steps poured a river of blood, and the bodies of those killed at the top slithered to the bottom. And that river of blood is actually spoken of in the book of Revelation. I think once you start to see that Revelation is talking about the end of a system, you start to see some of these things fulfilled. There's a lot more we could say about the siege of Jerusalem, why it happened the way that it happened. The Romans not only killed 1.1 million people, they enslaved another nearly 100,000 people. Anyone under 17 that they enslaved, they sold as into servitude to others around. Most of these actually helped build the Colosseum. A lot of historians reject Josephus' death toll because it seems impossible, but there was about 1 million people living in Palestine, and half of them Jewish at the time of AD 70, and for there to be 1.1 million deaths wouldn't be unheard of, because there were usually over 1 million people in Jerusalem at every Passover. So it is not surprising to see that kind of death toll. Why does this happen? Well, this is the culmination of the system of the Old Covenant, and it was removed, and there's nothing to go back to. This is also the same generation that kills the Lord of Glory. And I reject an eschatology in which a future generation that did not kill the Lord of Glory is held accountable for what a previous generation did. And I think we'd also have to reject the timing statements of Jesus to say this was not in our past, but lies somewhere in our future. Tomorrow, we'll get into the cutting of covenant, and the breaking of covenant. And I'll see you then. God bless.